Today we are in part 8 of the series we have been in 1 John, and today we will be looking at chapter 4. I don't know if we'll get through all of it. We're going to start with verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4 today and go through that and see how far we go and how much time we have, and then see if we'll carry on and or break chapter 4 up into two parts. But before we get started in reading chapter 4 and talking about some of the elements of the first six verses in chapter 4, just some background and some the last couple of chapters leading up into this moment here in chapter 4, where John starts to continue to warn and encourage them as a fellowship. John so far has been, throughout the letter, has been giving them warnings and encouragements, warnings about the loving things of the world and the many antichrists who deny the incarnation of Christ and that don't practice righteousness. Remember, John's been concerned about these outside influences of a distorted view of Christ and being a follower of Christ, about not practicing righteousness and no belief in the Christ taking on flesh. And he's really concerned about it. So he's been warning them about that and what the enemy is doing. And what I mean enemy is the Antichrist, the false teachers. They're their opposition to the truth in Christ. But at the same time, he's been encouraging them and wanting them to make sure that they love one another. And John encouraged them that with what Christ has done for them. And he talks about Christ's love for them. Also, how they're right now the children of God, born of him. And that when Christ returns, they're going to be just like him. So they're children right now. They're not, may not fully be like Christ yet, but when he comes, they will be just like him, like Christ, when Christ appears. And that encouragement is for us too. He loves us. We're his children now. And there's coming a time when he returns. And when he does, we'll be just like Jesus. And he encourages them to hold on to what was first taught to them. And that would have been some of the things from I've mentioned before, that John's gospel is written before this, and I would assume that the things that John would have told them, like he talks about, you know, hold on to what you've heard from the very beginning. Those very beginnings would have been what John had written in the gospel, what he would have heard from Jesus and explained to them and told them of the gospel of the kingdom and of Christ. And so he encourages them to, through the letter, is to hold on to what they were first taught. Hold on to those basic things there, the main and plain of the scriptures, and to abide in Jesus. Not just abide in some practices or some belief system, but to abide in the person of Jesus. And to love your brothers just as Jesus loved them. And to make sure they don't close their eyes or hearts to those in need, so that they would be able to love their brother and sister and have confidence before God. Now let's look at verse 1 through 6 here in chapter 4. We'll read. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that's verses 1 through 6. And start off with, I guess the first question, what is John warning them about? Who is he warning them about? And what is the focus of his warning here in verse 1, going into 1 in verse 1 and 2? You know, really many think he's warning about the false prophets or the false teachers. But no, he says, do not believe every spirit. He talks about the spirit of Antichrist that has come. And so he's warning them about the spirit of it, the root cause. So the spirit of Antichrist, this time his warning is against the spirit of Antichrist, who is even then and even now inspiring false prophets and false teachers. And he says, we're called to distinguish those false spirits. And so we know the false prophets by what's the root of what they're teaching. Where is it coming from? See, John's warning here is not against those who pretend to have the Spirit's presence, but against genuine evil spirits that are inspiring the false prophets. And see, and they're struggling. The struggle they are facing is not against flesh and blood. See, it's against principalities and powers. And so we have to remember this. This is the same for us. Who is at the root of the opposition to the truth of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom? It's not just the people that may be saying things wrong or misunderstanding. It's not like a brother in Christ who there's a difference in perspective about a certain scripture. He's talking about those. It's a spirit of Antichrist speaking something that is completely untrue, and a heresy against the truth of Christ becoming man. And that's really one of the main thrusts of John's teaching and talking and warnings in this letter, is that there are those that are influencing, speaking about Christ in a way that he did not take on flesh. And so here's this battle, this spiritual battle that's gone on since the very beginning when Adam and Eve were deceived. And from that time, there's been a battle. And Jesus comes on the scene when he first shows up, and he really throws down this gauntlet, throws it down and says, I'm a new king. He's not talking about a king against Caesar, but a king against ruler over the god of this age, this evil age, and that's Satan. And he's saying your time is over. And he'd come to attack his realm and his ways and destroy the works of the devil. And as we looked at in the previous chapter. And so here he's warning them that it's the spirit behind the false prophets, it's the spirit behind the false teachers, and that evil spirit is being influenced. That's demonic. Its source is evil, and to not give in to that, warning to be careful of it and to test those spirits. Don't just accept whatever anybody says. Now, what is the focus of the Antichrist spirit and the spiritual warfare? You know, he realizes we're John's telling them those that are born of God practice righteousness. Those that are born of God know God. Those that are born of God, they love God. They've experienced, they've come to know and believe the love God has for them. And so he's not talking about losing your salvation. We're born of God. It's something God does in us. What he's trying to do is affect dilute and to distract us and deter us in our fellowship and our relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in turn, it affects our confidence in him and our confidence before him, because he uses that word a few times here, and as we're coming to the end of the letter, about having confidence before God. It's meaning being bold in speech and be able to speak and have a relationship with God the Father. So the enemy knows that if he can't steal us away from God, but what he can do is he can dilute our relationship. He can distract us by pulling us into false beliefs, by pulling us into things of practicing things that are not good for us or right in God's ways. And in doing so, it affects our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and our confidence in him and before him. And what ends up happening, our subsequent expression of him in the world we live in, and how people see God through our life. And so he's intent not just on having us believe false things, but affecting our relationship with God and affecting how that relationship is expressed through our life to the world we live in. So we always have to, he says, to test the spirits, discern them. So how do we discern what is of God and what's of the false things? Well, he says, test the teachers and the prophets, and their attitude here is the first thing is how do they see the incarnate person of Jesus Christ? Do they, so he tells them every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard heard was coming and now is in the world. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So those that confess that Jesus is coming to flesh, it's plain. They hold on to the truth that Christ became man. And and those that don't, that's part of the Antichrist. That's part of the Antichrist spirit. And that's one of the sources. the Antichrist or the false teachers and those influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist, they clearly denied that Jesus the Christ ever had come in the flesh. And even as it says in verse 2, it says that they is confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The way it says that Jesus has come means that they even denied the pre-existence of the Son who came from the Father and from the moment of historical birth was Jesus the Christ in the flesh. And see, that's the root of this spirit is trying to dissuade believers from believing that truth. That's why back in the very beginning of the letter, he makes a point to talk about this John, I'm talking about writing this letter, that makes a point in chapter 1 about how they touched Jesus, they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus. There was this physical reality that the Christ had come. And then he talks about he's born the testimony of the Spirit and the water and the blood. There's the reality that Jesus shed his blood, the Christ, the Messiah, who became man for our sake, shed blood for us, showing he was a man. And showing here is part of the very, very, very beginning of God's act of love for us, taking on flesh so he could take on the cross. So how might these false prophets or false teachers fool the believers? Well, during that time, there was that of the letter being written, they come out of a pagan background, pagan religions, and even there was Jewish mystics they claimed to have these special revelations, and there were those that claimed to have been spirit possessed, and they boast of being inspired by the Spirit, and there's evidence of these inspirations through words of prophecy and other kinds of signs that they would do. And there was that mix of that spiritual mystics experiences that people claim to have during that time. No different than it is today. We see false prophets and false speakers of Christ now. And they claim to have these same spiritual experiences to back up their revelations or their teachings. And John is warning that not everyone who claims to speak under the inspiration is to be regarded as truly inspired by God. That's why he said you have to test every spirit. Does it match up to what God says? So what are believers supposed to do? Believers must not just accept their claim of inspiration, but to test the spirits. And one of the ways, as I said, is do they deny Christ coming in the flesh? And it's no different for us right now. There's different claims of inspiration, and John's not denying the reality of inspiration. What he's denying is that the Spirit of God is the one working in them. He's saying no, it's of the Antichrist. But whether them or us in our day, we have to be careful just to take whatever anything anyone says. That's why we're called to be good students of the Word. It says that he tells them, abide in what you have heard from the very beginning, meaning the teachings they've had from the apostolic teachings, and we're called to hold on to the main and plain and be students of the Word, and not just in knowledge, but in living it out. And that way, when someone speaks something they claim to be inspired that's contrary to what God says in His Word, we then can know that's not what God is wanting. And then John moves to the sense that they could have been fearful or wondering how they're supposed to handle this, how it's going to protect them, and even us, as some of us may read this or hear this. And he proceeds to tell them, hey, you have someone living in you. Where he says in verse 4, living little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have the indwelling one, the Holy Spirit, the anointing he talks about earlier chapters, that's come to abide in us, to dwell in us and remain in us, persevere in us and with us. And so he's encouraging, even though that there's these spirits out there leading and influencing these false teachers, and to be wary and to test them and wondering how they're going to do that, the Holy Spirit is going to help them. The Holy Spirit is greater than the one who is in the world, meaning the evil one, the Satan, or the enemy, the spirit of Antichrist, who is influencing those false teachers. And he's saying, hold on to the teaching that he's heard from the beginning. And the Holy One, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, is greater than he is over the world. And you have overcome them who are in the world already. Not because they overcome because of their efforts. They've overcome because of the one who's in them. John is telling them and telling us as we read this, believers, followers of Christ are from God, and they have overcome. Not that they're going to overcome, they have already. And the verb here of have overcome, it's in the perfect tense. It's in the sense of showing that the victory is more than a passing phase. It's decisive and it's continuing all the time. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And it's a decisive victory in what Christ has already done. And it comes about because of the one who is in them and in you and me. That one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And John is saying that God is more powerful by far than the devil. That those who are in God, that those in whom God dwells will overcome evil. Some may wonder, why does the world even listen to the false teachers and teachings? Well, their false teaching, their false influences accommodate the world's beliefs and the world's desires that are seen that John warns them about, us about, in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, rather, verse 15 and 17, where it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that are in him, all that are in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So the false teachers, they accommodate those false beliefs, those desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all that is of the world. Not of the Father, it's of the world. And that's why the world listens to them. It feeds that those opposing desires and passions that humanity has. And then in verse 6, John goes on to tell us who does listen to us. And what does he mean by us here? The us is the, when he means he listens to us, he means he listens to the apostles' teaching, to the apostolic foundation that we have, that they give us in the scriptures. And he's saying that the children of God, they listen to the apostolic declaration. They have a belief in the gospel, and that's the true test of the Holy Spirit's presence and work. And I mean, John chapter 8, verse 47, where Jesus talks about whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reasons why you do not hear them is that you are not from God. And so here he's saying those that are from God, those that know God, those that have been born of God, they will respond to what's being taught in the Gospels and what's being taught from the apostolic beginning teachings, as John shares here. And those who listen, and those that aren't of God, they will not listen. They'll listen to what the false teachers have. So anyone who is from God and who knows God will listen to the apostolic voice. See, in history, throughout church history, the apostolic doctrines has always been and always will be the means by which the Holy Spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood can be effectively determined and distinguished between false and true Christianity. That will be it for chapter 4. At this point, we'll end part 8 at verse 6, and what we'll do is on part 9 of this series, we'll pick up with verse 7 through 21 of chapter 4 and discuss the rest of chapter 4 of 1 John. Until next week, God bless.